This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I did a 24-hour takeover on my old station. I did Saturday from midnight to midnight on my old station as a charity event. Basically, it was kind of like I got people to send an X amount of dollars for every hour I was going to do, and I did 24 straight hours. Now, I will be honest and say I was a bit liberal and sprinkling in a few minutes of break every now and then. But I did 24 hours, midnight to midnight, live on the air, and I said, after that, I'll just cut a check to charity myself from now on. I'm never doing that again. It was rough. It was rough. By the end of that 24 hours, I did not sound great. Did not at all. I'd do it again. I don't want to, but I would. All right. I think, and I'm going to preface this with an apology to the great one for not waiting till Fight Club on Thursday, but I think we have to get to it.
No, this is relevant. Whenever anything major happens during a PLE, we definitely should talk about it.
Not just major, but like the majorist. I got on Saturday night 3 requests to go on 3 different shows on Sunday morning to serve as a wrestling analyst because of how big this was. 2 of them nationally syndicated, 1 local. John Cena turns heel and joins forces with Dwayne at the end of the Elimination Chamber. Now, in retrospect, I think it's obviously easy to say it looked like it was pretty much always going to be the course. The second that they announced that a conversation between Cody Rhodes and John Cena, between Cody Rhodes and Dwayne Johnson, was going to serve as the main event of the evening, that was like, okay, something's going to happen. And then when Dwayne came out and John Cena didn't clear the ring, it was like, are they going to do this? Yeah. And even knowing that it was coming at that point, it's still, as I told Sean Marash yesterday morning when I was on his show to talk about this, I said, I want to point out that Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, John Cena was still the number one trending topic on social media, nationally, not regionally, nationally, still, the number one trending topic.
Still trending right now, by the way.
Without a doubt, and it's going to be for a couple of days. Marash was like, can you put this into terms that a non-wrestling sports fan might understand? Why are all of you old weirdos still talking about this? And I said, Sean Marash, I don't even have to go that far back in time. Do you remember Saturday night at 12:20 in the morning when Shams dropped the Shams Wow? I did work it on a nationally syndicated radio, and I'm pretty sure they're stealing it.
Way to go, you.
Did you remember at 12:20 on that Saturday morning when Shams dropped the Shams Wow that Luka Doncic had left the Lakers and or left the Mavericks and become a Lakers. And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, that times a couple, right? That would be the only way that would be comparable is if Luka had been a Maverick for like 20 years. If Luka and the Mavericks had spent 20 years saying, it's never happening. And if Luka had spent 20 years and was averaging 28, 10, and 8 the entire ride.
And had won some championships.
And had won a handful
of a lot of championships.
Like 16 of them, yeah, to be specific, as a Mav. And then just out of nowhere, Luka comes out one night after spending 16 years winning 16 titles, averaging 28, 11, and 8, and saying, I'm never leaving, I'm never leaving, I'm never leaving. If at 12:20 at night he grabbed a mic and he said, I demand a trade, you'd all be like, yo, what now? The hell? What is that? On the list of great turns, I would say great one. That this checks in right behind Hogan is the third man and right ahead of Shawn Michaels kicking Marty Jannetty and Marty Jannetty trying to escape through the barbershop window.
Yeah, I got to go with this as number two. And
behind Hogan?
Yeah, it was a little obvious when I'm going, don't go in for the hug. Oh, here we go. And when he went in for the hug, it's like, it's time. And, I mean, I think John Cena has played more villain roles in Hollywood than he's played good guy roles.
Sure.
So not really that much of a shocker. Peacemaker, not really. I mean, he's kind of a good guy, but he's not really.
Anti-hero.
Yeah. So what if I think they're going to make this be that Cena's doing this because he wanted to win the championship, and this is the only way he could guarantee it. It's not so much of being The Rock's guy. It's using The Rock to get what he wants.
So Joey B popped in the chat. Joey B, P1, captain in the Armada.
James, Seth Rollins, that's up there too.
Trustable. Yes. I would say the Shield breakup's in that conversation too. Trustable wrestling voice said, I was shocked, but not in a good way. Nobody wants to boo a legend about a retire. I don't trust them to follow through, and Rock interjecting himself in yet another main event story is annoying. Here's the thing. Joey B, my gut reaction was the exact same thing. But, and I will acknowledge this might turn into one of those times where I fantasy book myself into a place that I want it to go, that I go, okay, if they go this direction, I'm okay with it. Maybe they go a different direction. I'm 100% going to give it a shot, right? Because I will put myself in the we that has wanted to see a heel turn for a very long time. Of course, I do. Here's what I think you're getting here. The whole time, this Dwayne The Rock Johnson character, dating all the way back to his feuds with CM Punk before he left and went to AEW and was gone for 100 years. The whole premise of that character was Hollywood The Rock, right? It was The Rock going to Hollywood and getting famous and making this money and using that power and that influence to get what he wants. And that's obviously the story that they started here, was he wanted to have Cody Rhodes join his little corporate stable so that he could utilize that. It's just now, instead of being Hollywood The Rock, now he's corporate The Rock. And wrestling will 100% recycle stories and tell them from different angles. And I think that's what you're getting here. You're getting another the corporate power that be angle, except instead of Vince and instead of Triple H and Steph, now it's Dwayne that is in charge.
But the thing is, the Cena deal is much like the Hogan deal. I mean, very, very close, because there are a bunch of kids who have grown up being Cena fans. They know about all the Make-A-Wish requests for Cena. They know all the good stuff that he does, and they've only known this, and they've never been betrayed in this way. There are children who are now teenagers, maybe some in their 20s, who've never been betrayed this way in wrestling, and so that's why it's such a big deal to them. To us, we've seen it happen before. It's been a long time, but we've seen it happen before.
I agree, and I would say, I think a lot of those kids were probably around when Seth Rollins turned on the Shield, and I don't know if this is even bigger than that. But I would also say, okay, like it's wrestling.
Kinda, Shield's kind of heel on heel action. They've towed that line sometimes, but they were predominantly heel.
Again,
this is a good guy doing this.
So to me, What you can do here, obviously, is that story of John Cena, who for the first time in his career wants to put himself first, wants to put himself over and recognize that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the guy who has the power to put everything behind John Cena to make that happen. Everything he said to Cody, I can make all your dreams come true. Whatever you want to happen, I can make it happen. I can set you up for your kids. I can set up your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids for life. And all you got to do is be my guy. I will tell you honestly, that promo that started this whole thing, I hated it. Honestly, I was like, what is this, right? He's not a heel. He's not a face. He's on one hand coming out and going, finally, The Rock is back in New Orleans, Louisiana. And then he turns around a minute later and says, shut up before I slap the syphilis off your mouth. Like, what's the take here? What does that even mean? And now we know. And now we got it. There was that moment at the last PLA where Dwayne came out for 6 seconds at the end and held up that three. And we're like, what is he doing? And now we realize he was literally holding up John Cena's hand signal. But he reversed it, just like he did. But like it turns out pretty good story. This is why I say, even if I don't like where it's going, I'm always going to give it a chance because you never know what's going to come out of it. So I would say that I really like this because not only does it have Dwayne's character of the final boss back in not just relevance, but like coherent. It makes sense now. You also have taken the Hulk Hogan of our day in John Cena, and you have taken that character 180 degrees, but it took you 20 years to get there. That's a long payoff. And I think this is the important part. You've made Cody Rhodes an interesting face, which I don't think he has been in a while, with the exception of the ladder match against Kevin Owens, and even that was only because you were teasing a Cody heel turn by having him snap and almost kill Kevin Owens in that match.
That's what I was going to say. This is best for business because this is about Cody. This is
for sure.
This is building Cody up even more.
Absolutely.
Will he lose at WrestleMania? I think he might.
I do too.
Probably because of interference or other things from The Rock, and then Cody's chasing again, and that's when he's more interesting. Is when he's chasing.
100%. I don't disagree. A face champion, a good guy champion, is always going to run the risk of being boring. It just is. Because at the end of the day, the face being the underdog and having to chase is interesting. Once they have accomplished that thing, now they're the champ, they're going to be challenged all the time. Like, there's no appeal to that. Now you have effectively created a world in which Cody is chasing and not being chased. Now, he's not chasing right now because he's still a champ, but I think at this point, now it's having to, even as the champ, stare down what appears, what feels to be insurmountable odds. Because it's not just that you're up against John Cena at WrestleMania, and it's not just that you're up against superpowered John Cena. It's also up against John Cena, superpowered, with the backing of another bona fide all-timer in Dwayne and a bona fide Hall of Famer in Dwayne, who runs the company in kayfabe at this point. So now you have this
spot. He does kind of run the company.
I mean, he kind of does, but in kayfabe, he definitely does. So now, not only Cody's got the belt, but he's got the belt and he's staring down two of the living legends of this sport and two of the living legends in this sport who have control of the company and can set everything in John Cena's power at this point. I think that's very compelling. And more importantly, you can have Cena win at Mania. He gets 17. He does it in a way that, for me anyway, and I may or may not be in a minority in this, I wanted to see a heel turn for a very long time. I wanted to see John Cena be a bad guy for a very long time just to see how that plays out. I'm going to get that. And not only do I get 17, him breaking the record, Cody goes back to being the chaser, not the chased. On top of that, now you have this whole new story for John. One more story for John Cena on his way out the door to drop the belt, but to find redemption on the way out the door, which is at the end of the day how I think a 17-time champ should go out.
Well, absolutely. And Ric Flair is all up in arms knowing that record's gone and that Cena's going to win the title. Also, The Rock kind of likes Cody's blood for some reason. Isn't that weird? That he keeps getting it and rubbing it on things? It's just odd.
I mean, I think, you know what it is? It's like when, It's like when Mox did that a couple of years ago. It's that moment where, especially in a company in WWE, that, and Cody got busted open, in a company in WWE that only goes for it. I had this conversation. I was actually talking about this on Twitter the other day. You know, every now and then you'll hear a wrestler call another wrestler a and every now and then a wrestler will tell another wrestler to go themselves. But they do it once in a blue moon. Why? So that it's impactful. I'm an AEW fan. I want it to be great. It's been struggling a little bit. And one of the things I think they did, even as somebody who is fine with bad words and blood on my wrestling, because, hey, that's how fighting works, right? They do it so much that there's zero impact to it. It's just another thing. When The Rock does it, even though he's only done it twice, when he does it, and he wipes it on that weight belt that says Cody's soul, it's just that trigger moment of like, oh, dude's lost it. He snapped. He's over the top. As opposed to when Mox does it and you're like, there's Mox bleeding again, because that's what he does, which is sad because I'm a big John Moxley guy. I want him to be great. But when that extreme is the only extreme, Cody Rhodes telling The Rock to go bleep himself was so far out of this white-hot babyface character they've built for 5 years running now that I was in bed. I was watching this in bed. The wife was asleep next to me. And Cody said, go yourself. And I, out loud, audibly, next to my sleeping wife, went, holy.
You know, you have the clip.
Yeah, but it sounds really bad.
Yeah,
okay. I tried to play with it a little bit. I couldn't clean it up.
So before we get to the phone call, Ron Killings, friend of the show,
just
X'd. 2 minutes ago, what about C Nation? What about the fans? John, are you for real saying bleep them kids? Asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Our truth is tore up over this, man.
I think that was the one more thing, and then we're going to get to the phone line here and take a call real quick before we go to break. I think the other thing that intrigued me that I like about all this is that John Cena has been around for so long that everybody has some sort of history or interaction with him. There's something here for Truth. There's something here for Punk. There's something here for McIntyre. There's something here for Rollins. There's something here for just about every one of the boys in the locker room. And everybody, this can be, much like the Daniel Bryan run up to 30 was, this can be a scenario that allows everybody in the company to have some sort of interaction with it. And to me, wrestling, again, at its best, when I don't know what's going to happen, and B, when it does not feel like it's 10 isolated stories that don't interact with each other, but all of them are layered and overlap in different ways because they all work together in the same building. They're all going to have conversations. When guys act like they watch the show, as opposed to just show up, do their 10-minute segment, leave, it's better that way. So I think we're onto something here. All right, let me get Bully Ryan here real quick before we get up for the break. What's up, big dog?
What's up, big dog? How you doing?
Real good, pal. Real good. What you got? We got about a minute and a half. Give it to me.
So this isn't just about John Cena. It's also something that we haven't really talked about because John Cena is the focal point. This is also setting up for something with Roman Reigns and The Rock because Cody Rhodes is the one that came to his defense when it came to the new bloodline. And so now he's going to need backup when it comes to this new authority with John Cena and The Rock. So I've got a feeling because this is what they wanted to do last year, this is also sort of the final stand for the final boss. And this is going to turn into another opportunity where we're finally going to get heel Rock versus babyface Roman. And it will be like one of those big storyline turns. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to throw that out there that this is setting up for something even bigger and more powerful as the final stand, not just for John Cena this year, but also for The Rock. Thanks, Rob.
Appreciate you, big dog. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I think it is. We didn't get our Rock Roman main event, which was the setup for a while there. You can have that now. It allows you to, without losing the heat he's built up, to give Roman a run as face before he reverts back to being the tribal chief, the OTC, the big dog. I think that's great. It allows you to have something with Rock. You got Cena and Cody Rhodes, which puts your biggest babyface versus the biggest babyface of day gone by. But again, there's also all these other characters that touch in. This is phenomenal, but I want nothing more And Monday Night Raw is must-watch television tonight. It's going to be the first time I've watched Raw live in I don't know how many weeks. Lonzo, I don't want anything more in the world than friend of the show, R-Truth, calling John Cena out. I need that segment. And I don't know if it goes down with Truth joining Cena or Cena breaking Truth into a billion pieces, but I don't care. Give me friend of the show, R-Truth, trying to pull John Cena back to face territory. It's going to be legendary. So, LeBron James said something over the weekend that was very interesting. We had the conversation last week because Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA on TNT said that there is no official face of the league. There is no guy that has, you know, a title that says face of the league. That's not how it works. The face of the league is somebody that is effectively emotionally selected by fans that we choose to de facto represent us. It was Mike, and then it was Kobe. You could argue for a season or three, it was Shaquille O'Neal. And whether you liked it or not, it was LeBron James. I was going to say John Cena again. It was LeBron James. The face of the league torch to Mizo, is this unfair? Still LeBron James? Still the face of the league?
Yeah, who else would it be?
Yeah, I mean, there's other guys. I would argue, honestly, I'll tell you who I think it should be, is Jason Tatum. But the public isn't on board with that yet. And I don't know if it's because they built their own big three with him, D. White and Jaylen Brown, but I would say Jason Tatum should be face of the league.
There's also a certain amount of popularity that goes also with that. It worldwide and a lot of
Jason Tatum's not out there promoting himself to get that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Jason Tatum's not the guy that's, you know, showing up on commercials and doing movies and you know, jumping on the interviews every night. Jay Tate seems to be a dude that's perfectly happy to go out, drop a 41 spot on Cleveland, lose, and go home. LeBron, on the other hand, obviously has beyond maximized his publicity. That's why he is a billionaire. It is not just the basketball money. It's all the other media money that's come in from being a star. LeBron James the other day, Friday, I believe, was doing post-game commentary. And there was a conversation going around because when Luka got sent to the Lakers, obviously LeBron is the face of the league. Certainly the face of the Lakers. And the conversation went that Luka Doncic was going to be the face of the Lakers. And if he was the face of the Lakers, potentially the face of the league. And there's been other discussions. Edwards, different guy, different Anthony. Anthony Edwards up in Minnesota has openly said, I don't want to be the face of the league. Which is good because he's doing a great job of stopping himself. 13 technical fouls and now he got suspended for some time. So maybe not the guy a lot of people want as the face of the league. But he has said, despite his spectacular performances in the NBA when he's not suspended, that he doesn't want to be the face of the league. There have been other guys who have said the same thing. Some who have said, you know, I'd love to be the face of the league. And maybe they're just not there. It doesn't matter. Whatever. The point is here, LeBron was being asked about all of this in the locker room after their game on Friday. A season in which, by the way, through 53 games, just in case you're keeping track, the 40-year-old is averaging 25 points, 8 boards, 8.7 assists, and Lonzo on the season is shooting 52% from the floor. And that's only going to get better with Luka in the lineup. I think the points per game will probably go up closer to 26.5. I think the assist might fall off a little bit just because LeBron's not the point guard anymore. Luka Doncic is. But I think the rebounds and the points are going to go up. This guy's going to finish this year with redonk numbers. So LeBron got asked about face of the league. Should it be Luka? Should it be Ant-Man? Should it be somebody else? Whatever. And LeBron said the following, and I didn't get time to censor it before it started, so you're going to have to bear with me, but he said, quote, why do you want to be the face of the league when all the people that cover our game and talk about our game on a day-to-day basis on everybody. Obviously, I didn't ask for it. I feel ant. I understand. This is weird energy when it comes to that. And I'm going to tell you, I agree with him wholeheartedly. We talked about this during the All-Star Game week, right? Forget the All-Star Game week. The All-Star Game, we talked about this. We talked about the fact that during the game, Kevin Hart was bleeping on the players. Everybody on a mic that wasn't Earn was absolutely bleeping on these players. Former players are bleeping on the players. I heard a segment the other day, and I got to tell you, I am sincerely enjoying the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett podcast that they've been doing. I've gotten it in segments and clips, but I have very much enjoyed their pod, and they do it. They're like, oh, these fellas wouldn't understand. These fellas wouldn't get it. These fellas, they wouldn't survive back in our day. I'm like, guys, you've been retired 10 years, right? Like, you didn't play in the 70s. Relax. Well, they wouldn't survive in the physical days of the big three in Boston. You know, the physical days of the league. LeBron's got a point, man. Like, and I know some of you go, Rob, just watch the product. You can see it. It is definitely a different game. Nobody's disagreeing with that. It was, trying to remember, somebody had Adam Silver on the other day. Was it Colin Coward, maybe? Rich Eisen? One of the big heads had Commish Adam Silver on. And they were, because Adam Silver definitely wanted to know what they had to say, making all their suggestions about how to make the league better. And it was, you know, move the three-point line back, get rid of the corner three, extend the free throw line on more of a parabola, so like where it curves, just keep it going to the sideline so that there's no corner three, move it back a foot and a half. The point was, these guys are so much more freakishly athletic than they were back in the day that three-pointers are not the challenge that they used to be back in the day. And I don't even disagree with that. It's gotten to a point where, and somebody did the math on this, I don't have it in front of me, but I do remember the results of it. Effectively, what was said was, if you're an analytics guy, you've looked at the shot chart now where, you know, X percent of, it used to be that the shot chart for an NBA game had a big blur underneath the basket, a big blur around the three, but it had a good, healthy selection of shots that were mid-range jumpers. And now, the shot chart is basically a big blob under the basket and then just a solid arc around the three-point line. And there's a reason for that, which is just percentages. If guys are shooting, let's use LeBron, 52% from the floor. 52%, let's say 45%. Let's make it even more dramatic. 45% on the mid-range J, and they're shooting 40% from three. Mathematically speaking, it makes more sense for them to only shoot three-pointers. Because the difference in shots missed, if you're taking the same amount of shots per game, the mathematical difference between shooting 45% in the mid-range J and 40% for three more than makes up for the missed shots with the additional points being racked up by threes. It really is an analytics reason that the shot chart looks the way that it looks. So I'm fine if we want to make some changes. Adam Silver said, look, we don't want to be reactionary. We don't want to dramatically change the game of basketball because of something that has been a conversation for 6 months, which makes sense because, again, I don't know how quick or if it would happen, but if the NBA changes its floor and its three-point line, likely college basketball is going to follow. Likely high school basketball is going to follow. Likely every level outside of, like, youth basketball is going to follow that. And the NBA is like, we don't want to dramatically change the game, which I understand. But regardless of how we feel about it, the reality of the situation is that when a radio host gets the commissioner of the NBA on and then directly craps on the game to the commissioner of the NBA, that's an image issue. And LeBron is saying, and I think correctly so, why would anyone want to take up the mantle of face of the league when this league is crapped on even by itself more than any other league? You wouldn't, right? Now, for the record, I don't really care who the face of the league is. I don't care if it's Ant Edwards or Jason Tatum or Luka Doncic or LeBron James or Steph Curry or anybody. I don't care who the face of the league is. I care that the league is good. The association is good. And I feel like the NBA can't fix itself. The NBA can't make itself better. When I tune on the TV every morning, when we set up to do the show, and more often than not, all I see is talking heads, including former players, talking about how bad it is. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. It's really not bad. To me, it's as good as it's ever been. Maybe it's not as physical as it's ever been. But the athletic prowess of the boys playing it is as good as it's ever been. Anybody who thinks LeBron wouldn't get dropped in the 90s and go for 35 points a game is just wrong. But when I tune in and I listen to these guys constantly crap on it, LeBron's right. He's right. The NBA hurts itself more than we do. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Final segment of the Monday edition of the radio program. Somebody floated this at me. Great one. And I want to float it at you because it's a NFL take that I had not yet considered. Cody Decker floated this at me, and I said,
slay.
Because it's a good take. I said, that's 84-year-old Joe Gibbs, by the way.
Slay.
And it's my favorite new clip. I will play it
slay
all the time.
Don't combine that with old. Yeah, because then it would sound like murder is about to be committed.
The vibes are unmatched.
I got like four of them out of that. It's so good. So here's the take. Cody Decker threw at me and I heard it and I was like, ooh, you might be onto something. Last week we were talking about, obviously, the NFL's quarterback carousel. We were looking to see, now we know where Matt Stafford was going to land. He's going to stay with the Rams for one more year. Where is Sam Darnold going to end up at? Because it really just doesn't make sense for the Vikings to keep him. He's going to be out there. And one of the takes that I had during the initial conversation pre-Stafford re-signing with the Rams was that I honestly don't think that there's a market for Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers might get forced out of the league. I don't think there's a market for him based on what we've seen out of his performance with the Jets the last couple of years and the fact that even the Jets were like, yeah, now we're all right. We're good. We'll roll with who's there? I don't remember who the backup now is. That other guy. That's where it was. So we got to talking about this on Saturday, and Cody Decker said, where do you think Rodgers is going to end up?
Is there a backup Zach? What's his name?
No, he's somewhere else now. Okay. I think it's Tyrod Taylor, actually. Look, I think Tyrod Taylor's still there.
That makes sense. Yeah. He hasn't made it to
Tyrod Taylor's everybody's backup.
He hasn't made it to the backup commercial on TV yet.
If any quarterback in the league goes down, I just assume Tyrod Taylor's checking in next. So, Dex said, now our producer said, who ends up where? We were just kind of labeling who's going to end up where. And when we got to Aaron Rodgers, I said, I think he ends up unemployed. I don't think anybody's going to want him. And there is some element of you got to take all of the off-the-field baggage that comes with Aaron Rodgers. But I said, put all that to the side. Forget about that. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers is good enough on the football field to justify, if you are a team that is real close to being good, rolling the dice on him at this point. And Dex said, I got a team for you, Rob Brown. Let me see if I can win you over. Fire away. And he said, what about the Indianapolis Colts? I said, wait a minute. They got Anthony Richardson. And then my producer played this clip from the head coach of the Colts, Shane Steichen.
You guys and Chris Ballard talking about the open competition at quarterback. Are you as confident in Anthony Richardson today as you were 1 year ago today?
Yeah, I think with anything, you know, we're just looking for the consistency. You know, I said that the other day in my press conference, is we're looking for that consistent player. Obviously, going into year three, you know, been banged up the last 2 years, and, you know, playing a full 17-game season is going to be critical for his success and being consistent with his process day in and day out.
Lonzo, are we qualifying that as the old vote of confidence?
I keep I keep hearing the phrase. I guess it's a phrase, two-word phrase, word salad. Yeah. And I can't get it out of my head today for some reason. And that sounds like word salad.
Do you still have confidence in Anthony Richardson? Well, you know, going into year three, we think it'll be good. Yeah, it'd be good for him to play all 17 games. He's QB1. That is beneficial, right? Listening to that, and again, I may be overreading it here. I may be reading into a controversy that doesn't exist, but it sounds to me like Shane Steichen might be kind of giving the old dreaded vote of confidence to Anthony Richardson. And we all know what the vote of confidence means.
So no chance that he would go to the Titans? I mean, Will Levis, you get confidence in him? I don't know that everyone does. I think there are places that he could end up.
I think with the Titans, because that's the other team Deck floated.
Especially now that someone decided to stay at home with the Rams.
The other team that Deck floated was the Titans. I said no to that one. And I said no to that one because of two reasons. Number one, I'm not done with Will Levis. Like, Will Levis had some meltdowns, but Will Levis also had a few moments of genius last year. I'm not done with Will Levis. And I also look at the Tennessee Titans, and I, much like I said with BY at Carolina and Tiki Barber, guy who obviously knows ball, said, when you drop a young quarterback into a dumpster fire of a franchise, why the hell would you expect positive results, right? Why would you expect anybody to go in into a garbage franchise and be able to make something out of it? The answer is you shouldn't.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
I believe the Tennessee Titans have been that the last couple of years. That's why A.J. Brown was an Eagle this year. That's why. So I'm not done with Will Levis. I'm going to give the Titans an opportunity to get their metaphorical bleep together and get it turned around before I write off Will Levis. And on top of that, I still got Will Levis on a rookie contract versus Aaron Rodgers, who even if I gave him, I mean, I don't think he's taking vet minimum. So you're looking at, let's say, what's conservative but fair for Aaron Rodgers? $35 million a year? Matt Stafford just signed for his 50 or whatever it was. Aaron Rodgers getting $35, $37 million a year. That's a lot of cap the Tennessee Titans don't have to build around Will Levis.
Well, the cap just went back, just went up. So you,
sure
got some,
did.
You got some extra cap money that maybe you weren't accounting for that can make you go out and get a guy like that.
Or go get you another guy to work with Will Levis. There's going to be a lot of free agents available. We got to get to Debo here in just a second, too. Running out of time. So, Indianapolis feels like maybe a spot because they've got talent. They've got a coach in Shane Steichen, who I like a lot. I am to the point that I think Anthony Richardson has all of the physical tools necessary to be a great quarterback and none of the mental ones. I don't think he's got it up top. I know that we put it in the past and he sat out and he's good now, but guy who taps himself out of a game that, by the way, was for the division lead after a long third down, guy who taps himself out of a game, that's an old leopard and spot scenario. That guy can say, oh, you know, I sat down and I learned a lot. I don't believe you, dog. I don't believe you. I don't think if you're the dude that finds himself, oh, I'm tired, I'm tapping myself out on third and medium in a game that could very well win or lose this division, but I'm tired, I need a breather, coach. I don't think that's not a mentality you just stop having.
Yeah, and that's not really, it's not about the fans that are upset because they are. This is about the guys you're playing with.
Yeah, that's just about football. That's just a football thing.
When you see that, you're like, yeah, can we find somebody else?
If you have that mentality, you don't. So maybe you have some sort of like grand revelation one day, but I'll tell you, like, the stuff that makes me, it's not easily shaken. It's just not. So I'm not saying he can't ever do it, but I don't think he learned in like a 6 week span how to not be a guy who taps out of a game. So with that, plus the vote of confidence here from Shane Steichen, I think the Colts job might open up. They got talent. They're close. They could be in that division with the right guy. And they are running out of quarterback options because it's effectively now Sam Darnold or Aaron Rodgers. And while Sam Darnold just had a year with the Vikings, Aaron Rodgers is going to be cheaper by like $15, $20 million, I think. I could end up being wrong about that, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to come cheaper than Sam Darnold this year, coming off of getting cut outright by the Jets. Aaron Rodgers to the Colts could be a real possibility. And that throws everything into chaos. Speaking of chaos, how about Debo going to the Commanders for a fifth-round pick? Now, I got to ask, because we were out and about when that...
I made it to 947. Thought it was going to make it through to what the X, but it did not.
Sorry to kill it off in the last minute. You just fire it, and you can ask me about it, and then we can carry it from there.
Nah, we don't need to go that early.
Okay. So, Debo Samuel goes to Washington to play with the Commanders, who are not anymore, because they're good now, with Jaden Daniels, last year's Rookie of the Year pick. You're welcome. For a fifth-round pick. Debo's got 1 year left on the contract. He's got 1 year left. That's why it was only a fifth-round pick, not a second or a third or a second and a fifth or whatever. That's why it was a fifth-round pick. I'm worried. Like a lot of people I was talking to on Saturday when this news dropped, are like, uh-oh, look out. Here come the Commanders. Why is Debo gone from San Francisco? Because he blew up. I like the guy. Guy's obviously infinitely talented, but he blew up. I got him out here putting hands on my long snapper, shoving my guy in the throat. I got him out here getting into it with the head coach. I got him out here in San Francisco in the Bay Area causing some major problems for that team. When he goes to Washington, he's going to want to be the star. But Washington's got Scary Terry, who was a monster last year. Jaden Daniels is now the face of that franchise after 1 year. Debo's not taking that away. I hope I'm wrong, because if I am, Jaden Daniels is going to win the MVP next year. But I'm not calling that one official yet like I did Rookie of the Year, but he'll be in the mix. If I'm wrong, and Debo's fine, this Commanders team is very scary. This Commanders team may have just put the Dallas Cowboys into the cellar in the NFC East. They are going to be a monster if Debo is him next year. But if Debo is not him next year, if he's going to freak out and have those same issues next year, go through the same breakdown that he went through last year in San Francisco, this could get real bad for Washington. Granted, I'm willing to conduct the experiment for a fifth-round pick, and I'm certainly willing to conduct the experiment for a fifth-round pick if Debo isn't demanding a new contract this year. If he's willing to play this one out, even if I risk losing him, if he plays the way that he would need to play to get a contract extension next year, then we go, hey, we're a Super Bowl team now, Debo. Why don't you stick around and let's win one together? If he doesn't play well enough for the extension, it cost you a fifth-round pick. This was a hell of a move for the Washington Commanders.
And now, the Rob Brown Show presents Twit.
What the? He plays like he can play and has no more drama.
Yep.
He stays healthy.
That's a scary team.
Yes, it is. All right, the first thing it's axing is Myrtle Beach.
Slay.
I don't. Oh! I do know. I do know. There are. Is that where the wildfires are?
Yeah, it's on fire.
Yeah. I'm kind of. I don't know, man. Like, I'm emotionally exhausted. You know, like I'm just. And now, when it was over in California, it's like this is tragic. This is sad. Let's do what we can to help. And then you wake up 2 weeks later, and it's like, oh, our state too. I am freaking tired, you guys.
I don't know. The West Coast was on fire. Now the East Coast is on fire. It's just like a coincidence. I don't know.
I'm not going to go down that path because I'll say things that are going to get me yelled at. I'm just going to say I'm freaking tired.
Yeah. Well, you always say things that get yelled at. Hopefully they get that thing under control because I do enjoy visiting that place.
I got to get over there. And I haven't been there.
There are people who live there, of course, that are losing their property and stuff, and you feel for them. All right. The next thing that's axing is the Los Angeles Lakers.
The LA Lakers, trending because of what we talked about with LeBron earlier?
Trending because of how many wins they've had in a row.
I'm sorry. Let's go back 3 weeks when Luka got traded. Who was it that came in here on Tuesday, because we were off that Monday, and said, y'all, the Lakers, when they figure out that 1-2 punch, Luka on the ball, LeBron James going back to playing off ball, which is his natural position, and he gets to play the cut and slash guy and not the assist guy. This team, and I'll say it again now, is going to the Western Conference Championships. I'm not saying they're going to beat Oklahoma City. I'm not saying that they're going to win the NBA Finals, because I do think Boston's still better. But the LA Lakers, I took a bet the next day. The LA Lakers will make it to the NBA's Western Conference Championship
game. By the way, I'm not an NPC here. I said, I agree with you. I was excited about the trade. We had a long conversation, but you always forget about me.
Well, I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could. You could speak for the show.
Lonzo and I, this show said.
There you go.
Luka on the one.
That's all. I mean, because if you don't say that, it makes it sound like I'm disagreeing with you, which I wasn't.
Luka on the one. LeBron playing off the ball as a cutter slasher in a secondary. LeBron James is a secondary option. LeBron's averaging 26 a game, and he's your second option. This team's going to the Western Conference Championship.
When we talked about this, and Austin Reaves is the third guy. He's really not. I mean, he's pretty good.
If Luka and Bron aren't there, it's because somebody faded a defense in their direction to take them out. Austin Reaves is already picking up points per game because of this. This team's going to the Western Conference Championship.
I'm trying to figure out who's better at the long pass, Kevin Love or Luka.
Luka.
Now, Kevin Love was really good back in the day.
Kevin Love was good at it.
Him throwing those long passes to LeBron was amazing.
I agree. Have you watched Luka throw the quarterback pass from under the basket on a streaker? It's just like, it doesn't even throw it. He just kind of flicks it.
I saw Kevin Love do the same thing. I did. I know it's been a while. But Kevin Love was brought up the other day, and I was excited about that because I think
more than fair.
I think their passing is comparable. All right, the next thing that's Xing and overshadowed but should not have been is Jade Cargill.
Jade Cargill beat the absolute out of Naomi. I mean, beat the crap. I'm trying to think of the last time that there was a beatdown like that in a ring that made me go, I think I've had enough of this.
Yeah. I mean, to the point, again, and they kept going back to showing Bianca stuck in the pod, just
crying.
And then had to wrestle after that.
Here's my twist. Bianca did it.
Yeah, I think she
was
behind it.
Here's my twist. Bianca did it.
But everyone wants that to be. What if she wasn't?
What if it is Naomi? It's still a good story. I only have one issue with all this, which is I hope Jade took the time to get better as a wrestler.
Yeah, me too.
If she got better as a wrestler, we got a hell of a three-way story going here. If she did not, it's going to be bad.
All right, the final thing is axing, because we had a little extra time, is Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney and her fiancé broke up last week, and I'm just going to say, as we wrap up the show, some of y'all got to be less creepy on the internet.
Yeah, I was going
to say, some of y'all got to be less creepy on the internet.
Don't click on Sydney Sweeney, because I saw some stuff I was not expecting.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point where I may have to have a conversation with engineering, because there's a creepy people out there.
Show prep.
She's pretty and everything. I just clicked on what was trending, but still.
Some of y'all need to be less creepy on the internet. That's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. Come back tomorrow. We got another 4 hours in the chamber, and they might, probably, maybe, we'll see, be better than this one. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a great rest of your Monday. See you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on The Rob Brown Show.